This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Louisiana Congressman and Dr. Bill Cassidy, who represents Louisiana's 6th Congressional District. We want to get his thoughts on the latest developments in the healthcare debate and what he thinks will happen when constituents get a chance to voice their opinions to members of the House and Senate during the month-long August recess. And Congressman, it's always good to have you with us.
Hey, thank you, Greg. Good to be on.
The president set a deadline months ago of a final healthcare bill on his desk pretty much today by the time Congress leaves town for the summer recess. Obviously, that's not going to happen, and we'll talk about that a little bit in just a moment. But what do you see as the biggest reason why that's not happening? What is it that is even preventing the majority Democrats from coming to a consensus here, although they claim that they've got one now on the House side?
What is preventing it from happening, I think, is a triumph of the American system. The original plan was written by 6 or 8 people in a back room, not including any stakeholders, not including even the coalition of Democrats, much less Republicans. When it finally came out, frankly, they should have done a better job of preparing people for what they were going to do and getting input. The American people weighed in, the congressmen weighed in, and now they've got a product which no one likes.
And now, of course, in the past few days, we've seen a few blue dog or moderate Democrats come on board. But in response to the mild changes made to the legislation, there are some liberal members now that are a little bit queasy about supporting it down the road once members come back from recess. So what do you expect to happen?
Well, I don't know what I expect to happen. I know what I hope will happen. Republicans all along have said there's common ground here, and if you invite us into the discussion, we can work with you on something. Now, they've always said, no, we're going to do it on the Democratic side, and they've iced us out. We don't need your votes. As it turns out, if they're going to have a product that the majority of the American people accept, they're going to probably have to bring in Republicans. I think it's a good idea because I think it's a bipartisan bill which is going to be best for America.
Congressman, you mentioned that there is room for middle ground. It seems as though that both sides to some extent are drawing lines in the sand. Republicans say if we go down the road of a public option, we're going to get to a single payer option. And you got support for that from Barney Frank in comments he made in the last couple of days, saying that a good public option, in his opinion, will lead to a single payer system, which is what he endorses. On the other side, Democrats say not going with the public option is just a giveaway to the insurance industry, and that's what Republicans are all interested in. So where is the common ground here? Where do you think you can forge a compromise?
Well, first, I would like to say that Barney is on the far left of the Democratic Party, even. And so if you take the New Democrats and the conservatives, then the Republicans, the Blue Dogs and the Republicans, then you actually have a working majority. And I think the common ground from my perspective, my line in the sand, is the patient in the middle of the process? Does the patient control her destiny? Does she control her cost expenditure? Is she incentivized to improve her health? Now, what we've seen so far from the far left actually is just, it's funny, Greg. They say they don't like insurance companies, but all they do is nationalize insurance companies, and they tell us that the government-run insurance company will be kinder, gentler, more efficient than the private-run insurance company. I think they're the ones enamored with insurance companies. They just want them to be government-controlled. On the other hand, on our side, we're looking at things such as health savings accounts in which a person replaces part of her insurance with a own bank account funded by the money she normally would have paid for insurance. This has been shown to control cost and contribute to better outcomes. I think it's a great idea. We want reform. We want reform of the insurance industry, but we want that reform to be with the patient in the middle.
Congressman, a couple of follow-up questions to what you've already said. Number one, we mentioned that the original presidential suggestion and recommendation and wish list was for this bill to be on his desk today. But now we've got folks like Harry Reid saying it was the media and some Republicans who forged this July 31st deadline and that it was never really set in stone there. Is that political spin on his part, or has there been a trumping up of expectations on this legislation?
You know, the original August 1 deadline was talked about by Tom Daschle, the original choice to be a cabinet member over health for President Obama. He said the reason the Clinton plan failed is because before they could pass it in August, members went home for their August recess, got an earful from constituents who didn't like it, and it died. Now, actually, I think if we have to be ashamed of our product, then it's a shameful product. And so if the Democrats are ashamed of their product, and now they're saying, oh, listen, we really didn't mean that. That was a political deadline. Well, no, let's go back to the source of it. And they were trying to ram something through without input from the American people. That's not the way to create a patient-centered health program.
The president has also said many times on the stump congressman that those who oppose his plan are engaging in scare tactics and essentially are defenders of the status quo. How do you react to that?
Well, again, if taking the position that the patient has to be in the middle, I would say they want to be an insurance company. The only thing that's not status quo with them is that they want the government to run the insurance company, not a private company, which would then be regulated by the government. That's a false choice. It's the triumph of hope over experience. We actually, on the Republican side, we want to reform health care. We want to change it from this model where people are constantly frustrated with bureaucracy, break it apart, and put the patient in the middle of the process.
Congressman, you mentioned that during the early years of the Clinton administration, members did not pass legislation before their summer recess, and then they got an earful from their constituents. What do you think you're going to hear from your constituents? What do you expect most members to hear from their constituents about this debate?
I cannot speak of every district. I can speak of mine. And in our district, we've had several telephone town halls where we'll have 6,000 people, for example, come on the line. And we've had that for the general public. We've had it for folks who are senior citizens. In all cases, calls run about 9-1. In opposing the government-run insurance plan and favoring something along the lines of what we talked about, putting the patient in the middle. And I was working late the other night, and my staff was going, so I was answering the phones. There was one woman that called and said she supported the plan, but as we talked about it, she became increasingly concerned about it. I think the more folks hear, the less likely they're going to like.
Congressman, you are one of about, I believe, 12 doctors among House Republicans. What sort of ideas have you had coming together, have you observed from your own practices that you believe ought to be essential in any sort of health care reform?
You know, the frustrating thing, Greg, is we know what works. We know what works. And I keep coming back to it because it's just what works. A patient-centric, if you will, the patient in the middle. For example, Safeway, a big grocery firm, has controlled their costs by decreasing the premiums for those employees who participate in wellness programs. So you take a stop smoking program, they'll decrease your premium. Now, they don't increase it if you don't. They decrease it if you do. Similarly, if you go into a dietary program that helps you lose weight if you're overweight. Now, this is the patient's choice. That patient can decide, well, listen, I'd like to finally stop smoking. And so she goes into the program, stops smoking, and her premiums are lower. Plus, she uses less health care. Plus, she will live longer and be healthier. And probably, her family will be healthier because there's less secondhand smoke. That is patient-centric. That's what works. Other examples, health savings accounts, again, where people use part of the money they pay for premiums and put it into an account that they control. At the end of the year, if they don't spend it, it rolls over to the next year. These programs are 30% cheaper than traditional insurance for a similar type family because once the patient's in control, they start saying, doctor, that prescription's pretty expensive. Do you mind writing a generic pill for me? The doc, oh, I'm sorry, and he'll tear it up or she'll tear it up and write a significantly cheaper generic, which he should do, but just may not be top of mind. The patient being their own advocate is always the best.
Last question before we let you go, Congressman. As you've mentioned several times now, a patient-centric health system is best, in your opinion, for this country. There's a lot of jargon on both sides of this debate. Both sides say they want to increase patient choice, which would empower the consumer, empower the patient. So how do we sift through it all to determine which one really does give the patient the power?
You know, right now, the Medicare program, for people who are going into Medicare, so they're turning 65, they're joining Medicare, about 20% of those folks have a hard time finding a physician to take them because Medicare pays below cost. If you're a physician, you go out of business if you've got too many patients paying you below cost. And so, and Medicare pays about 88 cents on the dollar. So that shows you that's less than what they do. They keep their patients they have with them as their commitment to their patient. So if you're saying, oh, listen, this new program, which is going to pay Medicare rates, is going to give you more choice, let's look at the people who are moving into the Medicare program now. On the other hand, there's a group out of the West Coast in which people will prepay their physician to take care of them. $50 to $100 a month, and the physician takes care of all their primary health care needs and their preventive medicine needs, those patients, month to month, can change a doctor. It's like going to Target or Walmart. If you don't like Walmart this month, you go over here to Target. If you don't like the service at Target, you go back to Walmart. And that's where the patient truly has the choice. That's part of the Republican solutions. It's not included as part of the administration solutions.
Congressman, unfortunately, our time is up. Thank you, sir, as always, very much for being with us.
Hey, thank you, Greg.
Louisiana Congressman and Dr. Bill Cassidy represents his state's 6th Congressional District, member of the House Education and Labor Committee. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.